This is Quinquagesima Sunday. And here are our announcements. There will not be blessing of articles after Mass today and no benediction this evening. This Wednesday, however, is Ash Wednesday, and there are two Masses, High Mass at 9 o'clock and a Low Mass at 7 p.m. That's 9 o'clock in the morning, 7 p.m. in the evening. Blessed ashes will be imposed at the communion rail at both Masses, and next Sunday, March 1st, ashes will be distributed to those who were unable to assist at Mass on Ash Wednesday. The laws of fast and abstinence, of course, begin this Wednesday for Lent, and you can look at the guide in the back of the calendar for details regarding that. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, before we read the epistle, the gospel rather, a word of explanation. First of all, this is not human kindness. Right? It's not that. It's not human selflessness. It's not charity in the way we think of it. That is to say, to be nice to people, to be good to people. That's not what this is talking about. St. Paul here is referring to a supernatural gift. It is a gift that is one of the three theological virtues. It flows from sanctifying grace. You may have all the kindness in the world and still be bereft of charity. True charity is equated with the love of God that God has for himself. That's charity. Let me repeat that. It is supernatural. It is and comes from sanctifying grace. It is the love of God that God has for himself. And it is expressed not only directly to God Almighty in the works that we perform, for example, assisting at Mass, or receiving the sacraments, or other works of a spiritual nature. But it is also, you see, also directed toward neighbor for the love of God. That's charity. That's why he says, you see, if I have not charity, I am nothing in the eyes of God in terms of merit, in terms of supernatural value. So a mother, for example, may have all the love in the world for her children and not have charity. Charity is that same love, but for another motive. It gives form to all the works that we do. That is to say, that it gives a supernatural quality to all the other works of virtue, and even, you see, of all the works in the world that we perform for love of God. That's why it is paramount. And besides that, if you are in the state of grace, meaning that you have not offended God seriously, you already possess it if you've been baptized. You already possess charity. It may be weak, it may be dormant, but it is there. It gives then value to all other virtues. Without charity, all the other virtues are as nothing. That's why he says, if I have faith to move mountains and do not have charity, I am nothing. Charity is what gives you a home in heaven. Charity. Because above all things, our divine Savior wants to be loved with a love that is worthy of himself. And that's charity. He is not content with human affection, but with human affection that is divinized, elevated, made supernatural by this quality. That's charity. There's many more things to say about it, but I'll tell you one thing especially that most people don't know. Charity is of and gives knowledge to the soul in its higher forms, perfected by the gift of wisdom. I will not explain what that means now, except to tell you this, that there are those who have great charity, who understand the meaning and the articles of faith more than what you learn in the catechism. It is then a type of divine knowledge that makes you the envy of all other Christians, because charity, you see, is that which gives you the ability to know God directly. And in fact, in heaven, there springs from charity what we call the light of glory, which gives you the ability to see God in the face. That's charity. Charity then is paramount. Not, as I said, those human qualities, but human qualities divinized. Make sure you understand that. Because if you don't have that, if you don't have charity, you will be damned. You will go to hell without charity. Even if you, as I said, have faith, as St. Paul says, to move mountains, Charity is paramount in every respect. Make sure you tell God you love him, because that's what matters. Nothing else but that. Charity. And as it were, see where it says, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. You know what gives you that ability? You know what gives God the freedom to do it? Charity. It is the sum and total of perfection. Not everybody can perform great works. Works of contribution to the human race, you see, even as saints. But everybody is able to have charity. And in fact, it gives value to our most menial works. Look at the Virgin Mary. The least work that she did, dusting the holy house of Nazareth, she did it with such great love of God that it was worth more than all of the works and death of the saints, because her charity was that great. You can be a great saint even in your invisibility, as it were, if you have great charity. And the degree of your knowledge of God in heaven is tantamount or equivalent, proportioned to the degree of charity you have on earth. Look, for example, and this is the last thing I will tell you, look, for example, at St. Thomas Aquinas. And look at all the works that he performed, I mean, in terms of intellectual study. To this day, he is unsurpassed in his penetration of divine truth. In the First Vatican Council, Vatican I, when the fathers began to deliberate in the council, they put the scriptures on the altar and the works of St. Thomas. That's how powerful did the council fathers revere him. Then let us take a saint, and I've used her before, although I never realized until a few years ago how really penetrating she was in divine truth. But let's take, for example, Saint Bernadette. When she saw the Virgin Mary at Lourdes, she was no saint. We think of her that way, but she wasn't. In fact, she barely knew her catechism. She became a saint much later on in her life. But that's another story. The fact is, however, that apart from what St. Thomas learned from his prayer, which was prodigious, all of his natural knowledge, all of the depth of his intellect, was as nothing compared to what St. Bernadette knew by what God instructed her, or better said, by her vision of God in heaven. In short, it is quite possible, I don't say it is, but quite possible, that in heaven, Saint Bernadette may inform Saint Thomas about the articles of faith. She may know more. I must say she does, but she may. Why? Because her knowledge of God is directly proportioned to her love of God. So charity then gives a form of knowledge which, again, I cannot explain at the moment. But it is true. Do not think, you see, in human terms regarding things like this, see. Don't despise the humble. Their love of God may raise them up more than you think regarding things like that. Saint Gemma Galgani, she's called not the little flower, but the passion flower, because of her love of Christ crucified. She was devoted to the Passionist Fathers. Their theologians of the Passionist congregation would consult her about difficult passages of Scripture and other similar matters because of her divine penetration into truth. See? That's one of the side benefits, if you like, of charity. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon, and after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither did they get to know the things that were being said. And it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front of angrily tried to silence him. But he cried all out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Notice that the first thing that this poor soul saw was the Savior. I'll leave it to you to finish that meditation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. And now I speak to you. First of all, I want to say on the part of all of us, not only me, but a part of all of us, the sisters, brothers, the fathers, you see, our heartfelt congratulations to you on this day. It pleases me to no end to bless and impose the habit and to have your support and your fidelity and your loyalty to us in this community. You have been tested, observed, and approved by not only me, but by the fathers of the house to receive the habit in that you begin your formal training in preparation for the priesthood and to be a member, a full member of the house. You have left everything behind you, haven't you? Everything. And while I cannot tell in one talk everything that you have left, I can say this, that it is no small thing to have left your family and your friends and your home to come here. I have said to the others, you are more than most a child of grace. I have never thought in all of my years in the priesthood, I've never thought, realized the great power of grace as I have seen it in these last few years, particularly in you. The power of grace is very great, very great. And people don't realize, even I, who studied it extensively, did not realize the effective quality, the efficacious quality of divine grace in individual lives, such as yours. Because I know that you could not have done what you did in leaving everything behind to come here. You are a child of the Blessed Virgin and also a child of the Holy Rosary that you have found in your life and has sustained you in all your adventures, all your trials. You left your family. You left your friends. You fought valiantly against priests who were trained more than you and who have given you every reason why you should abandon your desire. You fought them too, all by yourself, to come here. I marveled at how divine assistance worked in you. And I can just bless God for making us realize through someone such as you the power of what we do. We have seen these things in others in recent times, but you are the most dramatic. And for this, I am deeply moved by your steadfastness and your love of the Holy Liturgy that you barely saw, barely. And the Virgin Mary, our Lord and Savior, all of the qualities of the faith that you were just now beginning to know, but you knew down deep this was the way to be, this was the choice you had to make, and you stuck with it. Well, as I said, it's a marvel of grace. And it is an example, a sign of what God can do to the weakest of us, more than I realize. You have left all things, and now you have died. and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And all those things that were from your early youth are values for you. A good name, your knowledge, your sports. Oh, you've left everything behind. And never imagined the evil, the perversity that was there and that you had a sense of, but not in specific, except you know you must avoid it. You left all to find all. And that's the reason why especially I am happy, very happy, to be a part of this ceremony, see? Because in it, you have expressed your desire to find all. And I remember often, while you have been with us, how happy you have been and said so, how happy I am, how happy. Would that others recognize the great joy that you have and continue to have. This is just the beginning. And this is now your first step. The first step. There will be many other steps that you will make before you reach the altar. This is the first one. And I am so happy and so, well, privileged to be a part of it. You are then a child of predilection, and I am happy to give you to God, as I have done now, albeit with my own weaknesses. I want these words to be the last instruction for you for today, but I want them to hold you for the rest of your life. Number one, persevere. Persevere. Because you see, in this world and in this life, in this community, there will be many temptations to abandon, see, what you've committed yourself to. Many will. Don't think, for example, when our Lord was tempted in the desert, that was the end of his temptations. Those were just the beginnings of them. He was tempted all his life. And so will you be. But persevere. Persevere. Don't let anybody deflect you from the commitment that you have made. And how can you do it? By trusting God. I have been a priest now 46 years. And my trust now in God is greater than ever. You must do the same. Trust in God, who will not abandon you, as he has shown in the midst of your first trials, and they were severe, first trials. I mean, when you came to us, you had nothing, nothing. In fact, if I could say this, you were so cold that you wore your pajamas in the airport. Because you left everything behind you. That's just the beginning of what God will ask of you in your life. Notice that he says in the gospel, we are going to Jerusalem. That was his last trip before his sufferings. And he says, we, not I, we, meaning his disciples. And you are one of them. We are going. It will culminate in the altar and the masses, please God, you will offer. And in the end, it will be your very last Mass that will be in your deathbed, when you give everything, even your life's breath, to God. That's what I wanted you to know. So trust and have confidence that our Lord, who has begun this good work, see, will bring it to perfection. Don't forget, in your trust, to distrust yourself. Never be so sure of yourself that you then weaken your reliance and your dependence on Almighty God and His grace that began this work in you. Distrust yourself in everything you do, particularly in your virtues. Distrust yourself. I have done that all my life. Don't be afraid to look over your shoulder. Not by looking at the past, but by looking at the weakness that you are. And then dedicate yourself to a great cause. Your friends have their causes that you have left, and they consider them great. And what are they compared to this great cause? What are they? Nothing. And they think they are happy. It's nothing like the joys, do you see, that are found here. Temptations will be strong, very strong, and persecutions, ridicule, condemnation, accusations of disobedience, and ridicule. And remember that even though the enemies are great, they're not human in the end, they're from the devil. Because the devil hates priests. But divine assistance is with you always. And more than that, the habit that you wear is a sacramental. And it will help you. The tunic, death of Christ, is reminded to you. And detachment from yourself. So when you wear your secular clothes on holidays, for example, that's not yours. This is your clothing from now on. The cincture, purity, bodily and spiritual, purity, single-mindedness, and also obedience. The mantle, angelic prayer that you are called to from this moment on. Angelic prayer, contemplative prayer. And the rosary, that's your shield, your weapon. And the crucifix, your defense. Remember that here you are called to defend Christ, to defend the Church. You are called to offer Mass. And you will experience in this the happiness that is unknown to all peoples. Especially when you are at the altar. The secrets that our Lord has to give you, you will see in time, when you are offering the Mass. The Church needs holy priests, holy ones, not ones that compromise, not ones, as you have seen in your life, that bend the truth in order to be loved by men. So you will make a lot of enemies. But be brave, be zealous, and on fire with divine love. And before we leave you to offer the Holy Mass, I want to read for you several scripture readings that maybe I can give to you on another occasion, that you should have with you always, that remind you of what I have said. Amen, I say to you, says the Savior, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake who will not receive now in the present time and 100-fold as much houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and lands, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, life everlasting. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. No longer do I call you servants, because the servant does not know what his master does, but I have called you friends. Think of that. I have called you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. But one thing, says our Lord in another place, one thing, forgetting what is behind. We call that in our times mortification of the memory. Forgetting what is behind, I strain forward to what is before. I press on toward the goal, to the prize of God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, just as you have said to me, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. People have memorized this prayer. I do not know if they understand its passivity, but I'm going to say it for you, because I want you to know it well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Besides restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that gives me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your prayer. And I give it to you. Well, let's have our Mass now, huh? So that I may give you our Lord and Savior in his Holy Eucharist. May God bless you.